I certainly was familiar about what he had been through, what he was going through, for I had been there myself. I have been there myself, knew what he was preaching about. I'm looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 through 14. I'll preach what the Lord has laid on our heart. I certainly hope it'll be a help to you this evening in preparation for revival. I hope you'll pray for us. I'm dealing with migraine headaches, and sometimes the Lord has to come and touch me so I'll be able to preach, but I certainly believe he will. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 through 14, if you'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says this in verse 6, "And it came to pass when they were come that he had looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Yeah. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." You may be seated. In chapter 8, Samuel had appointed his sons judges over Israel, which had caused ill repute in Israel because of their corruption. And the elders had went to Samuel and told them that they wanted a king to rule over them. And the Lord told Samuel to tell the people all the things that would come over them if that would happen. He said, if we appoint a king over them, all these things are going to happen to you. But they wouldn't hearken, so he told Samuel to do such. Right. They wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to be like all of the other nations.
Right.
In chapter 10, we find where the Lord gives Saul another heart, promoting him as the captain over Israel, as king over Israel. But because of Saul's disobedience concerning the sacrifice and destroying the Amalekites, including Agag, God was preparing to reject Saul and appoint another man over Israel. And he sought a man after his own heart, and you can find that over in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14.
Right.
And this brings us to our text and our title, and I want to preach this evening on this subject. God is still looking for a few good men. I'm preaching this evening on the subject, God is still looking for a few good men. And you know the logo of the United States Marine Corps. If you've heard and watched television, they're still looking for a few good men. And I can certainly say this, having tried to get in the Marine Corps myself, apparently I wasn't good enough to get in. Apparently I wasn't good enough to get into the Army or the Air Force or the Navy, as they all rejected me because of my health. But I did try, I want to say that. But we're looking here as they go and he finds David, and they're trying to find a man to go out and try to be king there so that God can appoint and anoint him. And they come and they go and they go up to Eliab, and they go down to Abinadab, and they go to Shammah, and they go and they go and they go, and it's still not the right man. Do you realize that now in every pulpit standing in America that not just because that man's there standing, that it's always not God's man standing right there in that pulpit? And I'm not talking specifically about this church, but do you realize that God is still looking for some men to stand in some places to promote and to proclaim His gospel? First of all, I want to say this tonight. God is looking for some men that He can trust this evening. Now we find over in verse 11 that David was out and he was watching his father's sheep. And he realized that David was not out there just watching his sheep by happenstance or by coincidence. God had David out there, and Jesse had David out there watching his sheep, first of all, because David was a man that his daddy could trust. And there had never been a coincidence in the Bible where David had ever lost one of Jesse's sheep. He was out there because his daddy could trust him with his sheep. Do you realize this day that a shepherd is a person that God has to be able to trust? I'm telling you this, that your pastor here this day is a man in a position that God can trust him in. And you realize this, that if people come and go, that it's not always your pastor's fault. Hey, I'm telling you this, a pastor has to be a man that God can trust. But before God can trust a man in a place to pastor, he has to be a man that God can trust. And before God can trust him, he has to have the anointing on him. And you find where David come there, and Samuel arose, and he anointed him. I'm going to tell you this, before a man can ever proclaim and preach the Word of God, he has to have the anointing on him. It's not everything that climbs behind a pulpit and totes a Bible has got the anointing of God on him. I'm telling you this, there's a lot of difference between a preacher and a speaker. Hey, I remember one time I went and heard Brother Michael Dollar preach. And if there's ever been a man called of God, it's Michael Dollar. Hey, and the man said, the man that was holding the first part of the service said, I'm glad to have our speaker here with us this morning. And Brother Michael got up behind the pulpit and said, hey, I didn't come to speak to you this morning. I come to preach to you. Hey, and he preached to us that morning. I'm going to tell you this. God has got to have some men that he can trust out there this day to preach and proclaim his gospel. I'm glad this day that God decided one day that he could trust me with his gospel and with his word. I'm afraid today that there's too many people that's got the word of God that God can't trust them with. And they're perverting, hey, the word of God every way they turn around with it. And God can't trust them with it. But I'm going to tell you this. There may be some young men sitting in this crowd this day that God's fixed to entrust his word with, hey, and put the anointing on them one these days. You never can tell. We may have the next great evangelist that's fixed to preach God's word sitting in this crowd this night, that God's fixed to entrust the word of God with him. I'm going to tell you something. God's still looking for some men that he can trust the word with. But the problem is men don't want to rise up and say, God, I'll do it. No, they want to sit around and say, God, you really don't want me to preach your word. You really don't want me to do that. But God's still seeking and wanting to do it. I've often wondered why. And I'm studying a message called Why Shekinah. Why Shekinah? Have you ever wondered why we don't see the glory like they did back in the Old Testament when they'd come to church or when they'd go over to the temple and the temple be covered with a cloud and they couldn't even go in because Shekinah glory would be all over the place? You ever wonder why you ain't come down to truth and you couldn't even go in because Shekinah glory be all over the place? Have you ever wondered why I couldn't go over to Living Water Church and Shekinah glory just be all over the place? I want to tell you. You want me to tell you why? It's because people ain't like they used to be some 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. And the glory can't be manifested like it was back then. And the glory, we don't want the glory manifested like it was back then. We don't want to see it like it was back then. We don't want it in our hearts like it was back then. I'm going to tell
tell you something. Y'all got a prime opportunity. I'm coming up this week to see the glory of God manifested in this place like y'all ain't never, ever, ever seen ever before. Y'all got a prime opportunity to come and see the manifest glorification of God Almighty come down and set in this place that could be talked about from years on end. And all you got to do is trust in God so God can trust in you. Amen. And God is looking for a few people that he can do it in and Amen. Through.
That's right.
So God's looking for a few men. And then he's looking for a few women that he can do it through too. Amen. So God is looking for a few men that he can trust in. Next, God is looking for a few men that he can have, that will have some courage. Now I'm going to tell you this. Jesse gives David 10 cheeses to take down to his brothers to see how they was faring. And when he gets there, he hears Goliath roar. And he sees how the men are afraid of him. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's roaring louder today than he's ever, ever roared. I'm talking about he's got a bad roar. And he's roaring loud. You say, Clint, how do you know? This church ain't packed out. The church where I attend ain't packed out. The church down the road ain't packed out. And it's because the devil is roaring louder and louder and louder. And people are more afraid than they've ever, ever been. They ain't got no courage. They're afraid of the devil. Let me tell you something. We don't have to be afraid of the devil because we got one that's mightier than he is. But the devil's roar and the devil's bark is greater than his bite. Can you say amen?
Amen. Amen.
People's afraid. When the devil starts roaring and the clouds start getting dark, people's courage. Let me tell you something about Christians. Let me tell you about Christians. They got when things are going well, they're almighty. Look at me. I've got all the courage. And then when the devil starts stirring up a stinky and he starts roaring real loud, people start hunkering and cowering down to the devil. They don't want to have no courage to stand and fight him. But let me tell you something. When the Lord saved me, he didn't save me for me to go a little ways and to drop out. When he saved me and intended for me to be saved until I die or he come back.
Amen.
Woo! Amen.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. How many of you have served in the service, in the armed forces? Any of you served in here? I'm going to tell you something. When you go in the service and you get and the heat of the battle picks up and the firing's the most intense and you drop your gun and run, you know what they call that? You're a deserter. And when you desert during the heat of the battle, you know what they do? They pick you up and they pitch you out or they put you in the penitentiary because you're a coward.
Right?
Woo! Amen! That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you what's happened in this fight that we're in this war, spiritually and in Christian war. There's been too many people drop the Christian banner, let it get trampled on because they ain't got no courage. And they said, forget it, I ain't a fighting. I don't want to be in this war. I ain't got no courage. God's looking for some men who'll stand up and fight the stinking devil. Say, hey, God, here am I, send me. I want in this thing.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. God's still looking for some men who'll stand up and fight for the right. Stand up and say, hey, I ain't going to settle for this mess. I ain't going to settle for this sin. I'm going to fight, amen.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Thank you, Brother Toby. That's right. I'm going to tell you something. Liberalism and everything else sitting in our churches, trying to settle in our churches. Amen. Trying to take over. And people's letting it. You want me to tell you why? Because they ain't got no courage. Woo! Amen. That's right. I'm going to, bless God. I tell you what, people, amen, don't want to stand up. They'll let anything go on in the house of God. They'll let anything go on across our nation. And they think we got to cower down because we're just a bunch of Christians. Amen. We are to stand up and fight for what's right. Can you? Woo!
Amen.
Preacher, you're just preaching a little too hard. Woo! Amen. God's looking for some men who'll fight for what's right, who'll fight for the banner, who'll wave the Christian flag, who'll stand up for the King James Bible and stand up for what's right. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, I will tell you something. Let me just tell you something. Amen. There's been many a people, many a men, amen, glory to God, who shed blood for this right here. Huh? You want me to tell you something? They've shed blood. Blood drops have been spilled over this right here. And they're dying for it today. You want me to tell you something? It just jacks me up. It's our stinking liberal Congress failed to pass a bill that would make it a constitutional right or constitutional amendment that would ban burning of this thing. Hey, that makes me mad. Hey, man, I'm glad you are, because I had about three in here that ain't. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You want me to tell you why? Because they ain't got no courage to stand up and say, hey, we need to quit burning it. There's been many a people die for this. And you know what? I love it. Why? I love it. When somebody stands up and says, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed? Amen. It makes me want to stand up, put my hand over my heart, salute, amen, and march around, amen, saying thank you for the men and women, amen, who gave their life for the red, white, and blue. Woo! And say, glory to God. I'm glad for the men who fought for all glory. Salute it, amen. You want me to tell you why?
Yes, sir.
Because somebody has some courage to go somewhere else and defend it so I can stand up here and preach to you. You want me to tell you why the Israel got freed from Goliath? It's because David has some courage to go down there and kill him.
That's right.
Huh? Because Saul was standing up there, gutless, scared, no courage, standing up there going, I'm scared.
Right. That's right.
That's right. Didn't have no courage. God's looking for some men who's willing to walk down through the valley, pick up some stones, and fight the devil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, you have to fight the devil in the church every now and then. But you want to tell you where the fight's at? It's out there. Out there's where the fight's at. Yeah, we'll contest him here some. But out there's where the fight's at. And it's easy to fight him in church. Why's that? Well, we got our pastor. We got our brothers and sisters. We got the deacon. We got all those folks. It's easy to contend him here. And it's easy to be on top of the mountain here. But what about when you're out there and you ain't got nobody? Is it easy to have courage out there then? Let me tell you, you got revival coming on. The devil's going to be on you hot and heavy. Yeah. Well, you don't need to go there and support Brother Terry. It's Monday night. It's Monday night. He really don't need you. He just drove 3 hours one way. Glory to God. You just live 5 minutes away. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're going to have more courage this week than you had last. And you're going to have more courage the week after than you had this coming week. God's looking for some people that's got some courage to fight the devil. So we got people. I broke the flagpole. I'm going to tell you something. God's looking for some people with some courage to stand up, and more, even more over than that. God's looking for some people with some courage to stand up for Truth Baptist Church.
Amen.
That's right. Y'all just a bunch of Jesus freaks down here in Bremen. Amen. And it gets talked about because you come down here and shout and hang off the ceiling and run out the church. And you got a preacher that believes in this thing called blood salvation, hey, and the Holy Ghost, hey. Hey, God needs some people that'll stand up for Truth Baptist Church.
Amen. Amen.
When you get confronted about it, how many of you really know what to say? When somebody says, hey, why do you believe what you believe in? How many of you need to know what to say? Or how many of you know what to say? When somebody says, hey, your pastor's Brother Toby Pierce, and let me tell you what I think about him. How many of you know what to say? I'm going to tell you something. You need to have enough courage to say, well, hey, hold on just a second. I don't really care what you think about my pastor, but we love him. Let me tell you what I think about him. I think he's the man of God. I think I know what I know about him, and I know we love him. And I've seen him preach, pray, turmoil, help people pray their way into the altar and into salvation. That's what we think about him. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. God's looking for some people with some courage to stand up and do some things.
You're right.
God's looking for some people with some courage that when they try to move the abortion clinic in, to go down there and stand up against it.
That's right.
God's looking for some people with some courage when they try to move the homosexual, the gays and the queers and the lesbians in to go down and stand up against it.
Amen.
Preach, you can't preach that. I just did.
Amen. That's right.
I've had to do it, Brother Toby.
That's right.
I've had to do it. I've had to fight with ACLU over it.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, did you? Yeah. I live up on Montego Mountain. Some of y'all know where it's at. We don't like them up there. They tried to move a village in on us up there and tried to do it in secret. And I had to be the one to find out about it. So I exposed it. And I got on the radio and said, hey, Grundy County, they're trying to move them in on us. What are we going to do about it? That was on a Sunday morning. On a Monday morning, the place was torn down. Somebody went down there and ransacked it. I don't know who it was. Really don't care. But all I'd say is this. They ain't a living there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. People's going to have to get some courage about themselves and say we ain't a standing up for it. We're just going to serve God. Amen.
Amen. That's right, sir.
Clint, you ain't trying to incite a riot down here. No. God's just looking for some men and women who'll stand up for what's right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So God looked for some people with some courage.
Yes.
Whatever it takes, folks, to have courage. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm trying to say do what's right. I ain't trying to say go pick a fight. I'm just trying to say do what's right.
That's right. That's right.
I ain't trying to provoke violence in no form or fashion. There's a way to do it, and there's a way to do it right.
That's right.
After I done that, the ACLU called us up. Said, you can't run them folks off. I said, I didn't. I said, all I done was told them about it on the radio. I said, all I know, some of them country boys went out there, and that's all I know. They said, you don't know nothing about them boys going out there hooking four-wheel drive trucks up to them buildings and pulling them down and pulling down their gates and burning everything down. I said, no, and I don't. All I said was this. The queers and lesbians are moving in. That's all I'm saying. God took care of the rest.
That's right. That's
you don't think God can't use a lost person to do his work? You better believe he can do it.
That's right.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Even lost people's got enough sense to know they don't want that mess around their kids.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You better believe it's right.
Yes, it is.
That's right. Amen. So God's looking for some men to do that. And I'm going to tell you something. I know some lost people make real good saved people.
Yeah.
And it may take some of that to let some lost people know that Christian people ain't going to be run over.
Amen.
God don't expect us to stand by and let everything run over us.
Amen.
And sure, I'm with Brother Michael. Sometimes if we think something's going to offend our brother and what y'all was talking about in Sunday school as well, if we think it's going to offend our brother in Christ or something, sometimes we just got to set it aside. We don't need to let it offend our brother in Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. Homosexuality ain't one of them things.
You're right.
Woo!
Right.
Amen.
You're right.
God's looking for some men with some leadership. And I did say men. He ain't looking for Hillary.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
If you vote for her in the presidential election, you need to get right with God.
Amen.
Amen. Gideon's threshing wheat, and the angel of the Lord appears to him and addresses him, saying, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Valor means strength of mind or spirit that enables a person to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery. And Gideon would be the man that would deliver the Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Now God looked for some people with some leadership. And I will tell you something, I'm afraid in some of our local fundamental evangelical churches this day and time, we got some people that's in some places of leadership that ain't got no business being in places of leadership.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And I will just give you an example, a personal example. We had to deal with that at our church not too awfully long ago. We had a person in a place of leadership that was a he that had no place in the in a place of leadership. And I'll tell you how we dealt with that. Sometimes you just got to church people. Y'all know what churching means? Y'all will tell you something. You really won't know if somebody loves God. Church them.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
And they'll repent or they'll get out.
Right.
And I want to tell you something. A person with some leadership will show some leadership values.
Right.
And I'm talking from the song leader to the Sunday school teacher all the way to the deacon to the pastor. Amen.
Amen.
And a leader will lead people. I'm talking about, let me just start with pastor. And I know Brother Toby's a good man. I know he's a good pastor. But a good pastor will keep people in green pastures.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Even when he's in a time of hurt and discouragement, he'll always keep his flock in a green pasture.
That's right. That's right, brother.
Yes, sir. Even when he's down and out and hurt and discouraged and don't know what to do, he'll keep his flocks in places where they can feed.
Amen.
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 And I'm going to tell you something. My dad's pastor has been all my life. And I've seen him in places where I absolutely thought he was fixing to die. But you know what? Brother Toby, this sticks with me. The flock's always been over there eating fat.
Right.
The flock's always been over there eating good.
Right.
The flock's always been over there, Brother Toby, a-chewing. The flock's always been fat.
Yes.
You know what we tell you why? That's the sign. That's the value of a good leader.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this, too. I've been to church down here quite often. And I'll tell you this. I've never, ever, ever seen a skinny flock. You hear what I'm saying? I said, I'm not calling y'all a bunch of fatzos. I ain't saying go to Nutrisystems or Jenny Craig. But what I'm saying is this. When the flock is feeding good, when you get a visitor coming in, the visitor can eat good too.
That's right.
I'm eating good right now. That's right. I could have even got me a big old bale of hay. That's right. I've never seen a skinny flock down here. And I've been to some churches where you go in, the flock is skinny, and the visitor leaves skinny, you can tell there's some leadership problems.
That's right. Amen.
You can tell it.
Yes, sir.
Huh? So Gideon heads out. God sent him to be the leader. Now God's looking for some people who are faithful.
Amen.
This is where the flock comes in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You want me to tell you how you find out a flock's faithful? This week will tell the tale. This week is going to tell the tale about the flock.
That's right. Amen.
Monday night, y'all be packed. Y'all have a good crowd here tomorrow night. Have a good crowd here tomorrow night. Friday will tell the tale. Friday will tell the tale.
Yeah, right?
Most people get paid on Friday. Huh? And people have this trouble Friday. Oh, we got revival going on at the church. But Walmart's calling my name. Oh, Cracker Barrel's calling my name. God, what do I do? God, I'm in turmoil over this. I don't know what to do. Do I go to church or do I go to Walmart?
It gets about that bad.
You're right, it gets that bad. I've seen people get that bad over it. And if it ain't during the summer, you let it come down to football season, and I've seen people absolutely just about have a conniption or a heart attack or a stroke on whether to go down to the house of God or the football game. I tell you this, we've got our revival scheduled for August the 21st, Brother Vernon Willis coming to hold it. My daddy called me and he said, we're going to have a revival August 21st. He said, what's your schedule look like? I turned over and I said, well, I got to work in Nashville that week. He said, well, that's all right. We'll still have it. I said, okay. I just want to know what your schedule is going to be like. He said, make sure, because I help lead the singing there at the church. I said, I got to work in Nashville that week. He said, all right, we're still going to have it. I said, okay. They wasn't no fussing about it. You want me to tell you why? And usually when I'm out of town working, I stay out of town. I called my boss up. I said, we're having revival that week. I said, I'll be knocking off of work about 2 o'clock every day. I said, it's a 2-hour drive from me back to the house. That'd give me enough time to prepare a revival. He said, all right. There ain't no question. You say, why? I made up my mind a long time ago that my life circumvents around church.
Amen.
There ain't no question when it comes to church. That's right. The only thing that'll keep me from missing that revival is if I wreck and get killed.
Amen.
You say, Cleaner, you say, I'm serious.
Sure.
You say, what if you get killed? Then I guess I'll miss revival.
Yes, sir.
But I'll be having one more time up in glory.
Amen.
We got to have some people that's faithful, amen, down at the house of God when it comes revival time. Well, now, preacher, I've got vacation scheduled that week, and you ought to just cancel it, amen, or spend it down at the church.
Amen.
Hey, let me ask you this. Why, when we take vacation, why do we got to run off to Florida or Gatlinburg or Myrtle Beach? Why do we got to go down there? Why? When we take vacation, why can't we spend it at revival? You want me to tell you why? Because it don't appeal to the flesh.
Right.
Revival don't appeal to the flesh. We gotta when we take vacation, we gotta run down to Florida where all the nakedness is.
Yeah.
You know I'm a preaching it right. Where you going on your revival? Or where you going on your revival? I may just come down here and spend the day with y'all. Where you going on your vacation? Well, I thought about taking the family down there to Panama City Beach or Myrtle Beach or this beach or that beach. Beach equals naked.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. You say, well, me and my family, when we go to the beach, we wear our clothes. Well, that's fine. Nobody else does. That's right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Just because you're wearing your clothes don't mean that you're not seeing it. And I don't want my youngins even seeing it.
Amen.
What's wrong with spending your vacation just around the house with your family and just loving your family for a little while? Well, there ain't nothing going on around the house. And there ain't nothing going on down at the house. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Make something happen around the house.
Yeah.
I could preach right there for a little while.
Yeah, let
him rip. Amen. But God's looking for some people that's faithful. Gideon started out with 32,000. And God tells Gideon to proclaim that all of those that are fearful to afraid to return home. And 22,000 people turned around and said, I'm scared.
That's right.
And went to the house.
Amen.
I'm scared, Gideon. And 22,000 tucked tail and run.
That's right.
That's what's wrong with a lot of churches. Too many scared and they going home.
Right.
Hard preaching. I'm going to tell you something. Hard preaching is keeping people at the house.
You're right.
Hard preaching is making people mad.
Yeah.
That's right. You want me to tell you why we got a handful at church nowadays? It's because of hard preaching.
Yeah. Right.
Hard, straight preaching makes people mad.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It hurts the flesh.
Hey, sure
when you tell somebody they're living in sin, they get mad at the preacher.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at the preacher. Get right with God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hey, somebody mad here right now. I guarantee you, I know there is. I can see it on their face. I can see it on their face. You know what I say about it? Woo! Amen! Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I don't like preaching messages like this. Used to, I love it. Used to, I love preaching messages like this and calling people outside and say, hey, if you won't fight, we'll fight. I don't like doing that anymore.
Amen. Amen.
You want me to tell you why? It's because I mellowed out a little bit. You say, Clint, you mellowed out?
Yes, sir.
I don't like it. But sometimes it's got to be preached.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, God's looking for some people like you and you and you and you and you and you and you. He's looking for some people to get off in that Bible and say, Lord, show me.
Yes, sir.
Lord, show me.
Yes, sir.
And then afterwards, God tells Gideon, he said, there's still too many of them. Yeah. Did you imagine that? He said, yeah, there's still too many, Gideon.
Amen.
He says, take them to the water. And those that lappeth, he said, set them apart. And those that bow their knee to drink, he said, send them to the house. 9,700 bow their knee to drink, leaving 300 faithful men. From 32,000 to 300 faithful. Can you imagine? You're right. I want to tell you something. I've seen churches start out from 20 and rise up to 300 and 400. And the preaching hammer and preaching straight and preaching right. And I've seen it, listen, I've seen preachers get up there and preach their little cake icing message and people go, whoa, preacher, you're preaching it straight. Whoa, preacher, you're preaching it right. And when he starts preaching to them, they go, oh, preacher. And it goes from 325 down to 50. That's right. That's exactly right.
Amen.
You want me to tell you why? Because them people never really were faithful.
Right. Right.
That's right.
That's right.
God's looking for some men and some women who'll be faithful to the cause and be faithful to the calling.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
If I'm telling you this, and I'm just telling it straight out. If I knew that I could get by without preaching, and if I knew there would be no repercussions, Brother Toby, if God would come and tell me right now, Clint, lay it down. You'll not have to answer for it. Everything will be all right at judgment. There'll be no repercussions. You'll be all right. You know what I'd do? I'd lay it down. I'm telling you right. I'd take it and say, here you go. Here you go. Why labor over it? Why toil over it? Why worry yourself to death about it? Why go to church and say, what's the use? What's the use? But I ain't got that luxury. And you ain't got that luxury. And you ain't got that luxury. And you ain't got the luxury. There's an answer for it. And God's going to determine whether we're going to be faithful over His cause or not.
Amen.
There's a lot of people God's called and said, will you be faithful over it? Will you be faithful over it? Will you? And a lot of men said, oh yeah, I'll be faithful over it. And they scammed him.
Yeah.
They scammed him is what they've done.
Right.
The Lord said, preach this. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The message that I preached tonight, I preached at other churches and been kicked out. That's right.
Yeah.
You want me to tell you why? Because about the first time you hit that first note, God's looking for a man he can trust. They go, you can't trust me. And they've had to go home and sleep over it. And they go home and it's tortured them every night in their mind because they know that God's called them to preach. And they preach the message that God's told them not to preach. And God can't trust them with the gospel.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Not only is God trusting us with the gospel, He's trying to trust us with our children and our families and the churches and the communities.
Amen.
And everything else.
Amen.
My little girl, the other day, she was riding with me. I went and picked her up when I got home from work. And she was riding with me. We had a CD in, gospel CD. God's trusted us with His music, too.
Yes, right.
Huh?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes,
amen. If it ain't gospel, good gospel, amen, red back hymnal, southern gospel music.
Wee-wee about it.
Glory to God.
Amen.
It don't go in. It don't go in. We was listening to a song, and after we got through, my little girl said, Daddy, Did they hang him on a cross? 4 years old. I said, yeah. Tell you something, Brother John, she's thinking about it. Glory to his name. I said, yeah.
That's right.
And she said, did they put nails in his hands? 4 years old. And I said, yeah. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. It hit me like a ton of rocks. And tears started streaming down my eyes. And this is what got me, brother. She said, Daddy, did it hurt? She said, Brother Toby, she said, Daddy, did it hurt? I said, yeah. I said, maybe it hurt. And she said, shit. And he done it for us, didn't he, Daddy? Boy, I tell you what, 4 years old, tears are rolling down my face. And she said, he done it for us, didn't he, Daddy? And I tell you what, I knew right then that the gospel of Jesus Christ had been doing the work that I'd been reading to her every single night. I knew God had been trusting me with the Word of God. Don't tell me that reading to them at an early age don't do what it's meant to do. Hey, I said, baby, it hurt. I wanted to know when he was hanging on that cross and he was hurting.
Yes, sir. Yes, that's right.
It's exactly right. And God's looking for some people who's faithful. My life's point and I'm going to be done. And God's looking for some men who will be reverent to the man of God.
That's right. Sure.
I'll tell you something I'm sick to death of. I'm sick to death of people talking to me about their pastor. I'm sick of it. Now I will say this. Nobody in this church has called me and talked to me about Brother Toby. I talked to Brother Eddie. He's never told me anything bad about Brother Toby. Because if he had of, I told Brother Toby. I'm telling you. I'm telling you straight. I spent a week with Brother John Gammon, and it was a pleasure to serve with this man over in Honduras.
Yes, sir.
Pleasure to work with this church over in Honduras. Spent a week. Never said anything bad about y'all's pastor. If he had of, I told you, pastor.
Sure.
But I'm sick to death of people saying, well, we got a good pastor, but.
That's where it always works. That's where it goes.
But. And don't think it don't happen. Don't think it don't happen. Huh? It happens! And when you're an evangelist, you hear a lot of it.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something else I'm sick to death of. You're right. Preach on, Brother Eddie. It's pastors' wives talking about their husbands to evangelists' wives.
Yes, sir.
It happens. I told my wife this. We entertain pastors and stuff when they come up to the mountain and stuff. And it's not happened out of this church. I want y'all to know that. And I'm not preaching to anybody in this church. I'm just saying this. It happens. And I told my wife this, and she knows this. If it starts to happen, to get up and say, we're not discussing it. And leave. And leave. We don't want to hear it.
Amen.
We're not interested in what goes on
right
at the pastor's house.
Yes, sir.
We're not interested in what goes on there. We've heard so much of that I've been sick to death of it.
Yes, sir.
I've had my wife come home in tears and say, can you believe this? Can you believe that this is what's been said?
Yeah.
And tell me what's been said. And listen, me just about want to bite nails in half. You want me to tell you why? It's because, first of all, that pastor's wife is not under subjection or into submission because unto her husband. The second problem is that husband has not told her or not asked her to be in submission or subjection.
That's right.
That's right. And the problem is because he don't love her like Christ loved the church.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
People's not reverent anymore to the man of God.
You're right.
That's right. It used to be in the days that people appreciated pastors.
Right.
I'm talking about the pastor was the man in the community that people could go to and they respected and they loved, and he was the man that could get in touch with God. But now what he is he's the centerpiece of conversation during Sunday lunch.
Amen.
That's right.
Yep.
And they want to talk about him. They want to trash him every chance they get.
Amen.
How'd you like that preaching today? Mashed potatoes. He don't know what he's talking about, does he? Pinto beans. He needs to keep his mouth shut. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You better believe it. People are not reverent to the man of God anymore. And they're trashing. And then they come to church and they say, "How you doing, preacher? Been so good.
That's right.
Huh? We love you so much.
That's right. That's it, brother.
Huh?" And that's what they do, and the whole time stabbing him in the back. But you let one of their loved ones get on death's bed, and it's 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and they call their pastor and go, "Oh, Brother Toby, they're about to die and go to hell. Would you run over to Atlanta? Would you run over there to Emory and see them? We don't want them to die and go to hell."
Yeah, tell it, preacher.
Huh? You know what Brother Toby does? Crawls out of bed and goes and sees them. Then they want the pastor to run. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm fixing to preach this for a minute, so just hold on. I don't know what you pay your pastor. I don't care if you pay him anything. But the thing about it is, you want your pastor to run wheels off of his vehicle. You want him to run tires off of their vehicles. And you may go to church somewhere else, and I'm preaching for your pastor too. And you want him to do this and that, but you don't ever go out and look at his tires to see if the wires are showing. You don't ever go out and check his windshield wiper blades. You don't ever go out and check his brakes. You don't ever go out and check his gas tank. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. But you want him to run all over the country and keep your loved ones from going to hell. I'm sick of it. You say, "Pastor, are you saying, Glenn, how much money you want?" I don't want a stinking dime.
Bless him, Lord.
But I'm going to tell you something. The pastor will be took care of. That's right. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't many people calling me, asking me to go see their loved one in Nashville. Glenn, I don't blame them. I'm just going to tell them straight. I'm just going to tell them straight as it can be, folks. I'm going to tell you something. When you start mistreating your pastor, but you know what the pastor does? I'll go. Well, we tell you why. The pastor has got a lot different burden than the evangelist does. The pastor has got a big different burden than the evangelist does. Hey, the evangelist can come down here tonight and preach this. Hey, pay your pastor more. Go check his tires. Hey, make sure his gas tank's full. All I got to do is get in my little car and book it 165 miles back to the house and say, "Lord, send him a revival."
Right.
And I want him to.
Yes, sir.
We need some people to be like Abishai.
Yes, sir.
It's what needs to be done. Abishai was reverent to David.
Sure he was.
He was. David went down looking for Saul. And when he got down there, Abishai said, "David, here he is. Please let me kill him. Please let me kill him."
Yes, sir.
He wanted to kill him. He wanted to kill him.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And you know what David said? "Don't kill him. He's still God's man." But you know what? All David would have had to say is, "Abishai, there he is." And Abishai wouldn't have thought twice about it. He stuck a spear in his head and killed him just like that right there. And I ain't saying go out and kill somebody that's causing Brother Toby trouble. I ain't saying that. But what I'm saying is this right here. If you got people that's causing Brother Toby trouble, you're to be ready to stand up to his defense when the time comes. When the time comes. If you got somebody that comes in here to get ready to get on him, he shouldn't ever have to do anything. It's set back. And he would have men ready to go to his defense. That's right. Not too awful long ago, about a year ago, we had a woman come in our church and she sat back on this side and she was just squalling. I'm talking about just boo-hooing. And Daddy looked at me and said, "What's wrong with her?" I said, "She's crying." And Daddy said, "I know that. bless God. And he said, I'm going to give an altar call. And I said, okay. So he gave an altar call. And people just kind of, she stood up and she said, I got something I want to say. And she said, y'all got a liar in this church. And Daddy, hard of hearing, is going. And I look at Daddy and I'm going, ask her who it is. And Daddy goes, what'd she say? And I said, she said, we got a liar in this church.
Yeah.
And Daddy said, oh. And she tried to attack one of the members of our church. And it was our piano player. And so she tried to get heated and contested with him. And so the story goes on. We found out what the story was over the property dispute that she tried to bring to the church. A property dispute in the church. You don't think the devil won't break? The devil, I'm going to tell you something. The devil is bold and brazen, buddy.
Sure he is. Right? Amen.
And she started getting a little bit out of hand with her language. Folks, let me tell you something. The man sat there and was fixing to get up. The women jumped up. One of them grabbed a high heel shoe and run her plumb out of the church. Said, we ain't going to have no devil in here. And the man jumped up and went, glory to God. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Show you how brave it was. When the women run her out of the church, there was two men waiting on them. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you, don't think the devil won't try to stir up a ruckus in the church. When we saw the two men, then the church cleared out. You say, what was it? It's WWE down at the Living Water Independent Church. I'm going to tell you, the devil will try to cause a ruckus down at the church. You got to be ready to stand up for your people. And God's looking for some people that's got those values, with some courage, some leadership. He's looking for some of those people. He's looking for some people that will have those. My question is this, where do you lack? What do you lack in that area? He's looking for some people that's got some of those. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That's the message. Come on, Brother Toby. He's looking for some people with some courage. How many times, let me ask you this, how many times have you cowered to the devil? You say, Clint, I don't know. I've done it. I have done it. Shamefully have I done that. And I'm not pleased with it. How many times has the devil come to you and the Lord been dealing with you to pray? And the devil comes and say, oh, you don't need to pray. You've cowered to him. How many times have you done that? How many times have you had it in your heart to step up and say, Lord, I'm ready to step up for you, and the devil push you back a step? You want me to tell you something? This could be one of those revivals that could rub off to the next church down the street and go on down there and then make its way up the road. And by August 21st, it can make its way up to where I live. And Brother Willis come into our church and get ready for revival, and revival doesn't be there, and people shouting the house down. I want to tell you something. That could be that type of revival. I've read about revivals all my life, about all these great revivals. And I've been in some good ones, don't get me wrong. But I want to be in one of those revivals that gets wrote down, that people read about forever. And wouldn't it be amazing if they write it down and it says, on this date, whatever tomorrow is, July the 10th. On July the 10th, 2006, at Truth Baptist Church, this great revival started. Wouldn't that be amazing? And 150 years from now, if the Lord don't come back, our great-great-grandchildren open it up and go, man, that must have been one more revival. While we stand and while they sing.